was looking forward to coming down to camp meeting and amening somebody else. But I ask for your prayers tonight that the Lord will meet us here and that he will make this word alive. Yes. As I walked in this morning, this evening, I was a few minutes late. And my heart has been meditating most of the day on the scripture that says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as I come in the door, we were singing Sister Jerob's favorite song, Gladstone Congregation, years ago. Number 44, Adoration. And in that song, the chorus says, I shall see him. Shall I see him? And the resonation of the truth of that song, to know that there is a time that will come when we will be able to pierce the veil between here and there, and in our being and in our spirit to witness the face of Christ, to look upon his eyes, to look upon his face, to feel and to experience his love without the separation of this great distance. But the beauty of this tonight is that we can experience the blessing of God in this life in a extraordinarily powerful way. And I think many of us tonight have experienced that. And I think the burden, and I feel like the burden the Lord has laid on my heart, is maintaining that purity and that connection with God in our life as we go along. I remember, and I think about folks that remember my own testimony and different ones, that when they first get saved, there's a real freshness to that experience. Now, you go to the altar and you pray and you bare your heart, so to speak, and you lay everything out on the altar, and there's a clearing there. There is a freshness and a renewing, because all of the burdens and all of the wrongs and all of the things that we've messed up on, we lay on the altar, and you get up from that place in a really pure position, because you've laid everything before God. And when you leave that place, there's a feeling of power, there's a feeling of enablement, there's a feeling of that I can overcome and conquer anything, because my heart is so light and it's so free. And when the Lord meets us in that place and he honors that sacrifice of a broken spirit, it gives us an enthusiasm. How can you explain the old story? We've felt that experience. But through life and through circumstance and through choices and decisions in life and things that we go through, it's easy sometimes to lose that, maybe not easy, but it's possible to lose that connection with God, where we have such a clear view and a clear vision of where we should be, and that our steps are in the proper way and in the right way. And I would pose this to you. Think about someone who is, you know, you meet someone who's on fire for God and they have a relationship with the Lord that is close. And then maybe you meet them sometime later and something has happened in the meantime. That fire and that desire and the choices that they make and the position that they're in is so changed. And you wonder, well, how did you get from there to here? Last time and when we spoke and where things were, what happened in that period of time? And all of us know that those things don't occur in a moment. We don't wake up the next day and immediately want to return to the bondage or the things that might have ensnared us in the past. But over time, there can be this sequential movement, a separation, slothfulness, whatever it might. There's just something that begins to creep in and we lose that vision or that sight. Now, one of the things that I really want to press in your mind is what the impact of what seeing God does in our heart. I think about when Moses went up on the mountain to obtain the law. And when he came down from the mountain, his face shone because of the glory, because of being in the presence of God. And I can only imagine how his human body was experiencing that kind of physical experience. His impression and his thoughts about what it meant to be God's people and what it meant to follow. All of his mindset and everything was so in tune because he had been in the presence of God. And when he came in contact with and come back down and the people had built a golden calf and were worshiping it, what a clanging sound to the experience that Moses had just had. To see that in view and in light of what the impression in his heart and in his mind of spending time with the Lord, and then seeing there was an automatic reaction. He wasn't very happy with what he saw. His reaction was extreme to a certain extent. And I think about how sometimes folks can get in that place where maybe they would be doing things they never would have done in the past. And they're in a position that they maybe never would have chosen before, and how they can get to that place. But when we spend time with the presence of the Lord and we are witnessing His face and looking upon Him, there is an empowerment and a reaction within us that causes us to want to be in that presence, to be able to possess it and absorb it, to live in it, to never be apart from it. I think about sometimes when we go down the road or we spend time and the Lord opens up the windows of heaven and He pours out a blessing on our spirit and our heart, and we respond to that. That there is such a special anointing to those times when God comes down and rests with us. And your heart, it yearns and craves for that experience. To feel the presence of God accepting us. Yes. Enraptured. All of our problems, all of our worries, our stresses, the things, the burdens, they get light in those moments. Because in the face of God and in the experience of His presence, everything in this world, it begins to be put in perspective. The things that we encounter and the afflictions of this life and the burdens that we carry in the light of God, they become a light thing. He empowers us and encourages us. It gives us the strength to carry those things further, to carry the things that maybe are on our plate or the seasons that we have to deal with. But our strength comes from those times of visiting with God and having that blessing of His presence in our life. With that comes a vision. It comes a sight and an understanding, a certain knowledge, so to speak, is born out of that. And then when we make decisions or we make choices in life, it comes back to the impact, to that presence of God, and weighing and understanding the impact of where we're going or what we're doing and how it impacts that experience with God. That I don't want anything to hinder that. That my heart is open and pure before God, that there is no ulterior motivation, that He can see me, that I know that I'm open before Him, and there's a sense of brokenness before God, that You can search me. Everything is at Your behest in my life. There isn't anything that I've shrouded over, that I've put my hands over, but everything is open and pure. There is a vision that comes from that. God is able to work with us when we're in that position. Is everyone right all the time? I mean, the scripture says every man is right in his own eyes. And you could walk down the street and ask 100 different Christians what it means to be a Christian, and you might get a lot of different answers. So then you have to say, where I'm standing before God, is it where I'm supposed to be? There must be something in me that yearns to make sure that I am clear before God, that I have the proper vision and sight, that I'm not deceived, that I'm not in a place where I've made some misconceptions, I've made some wrong decisions, I'm in a place where I don't enjoy the blessing of God because I've lost my sight. We know, and the scripture has taught us, and we have experienced, we sang that song, Be an Overcomer. There is a blessing that comes from God and an empowerment that allows us to overcome the things in our life. Gives us the victory over the things in our life and in the places where the enemy would attack us and come after us. So if I am in a place or I am in a position where I am constantly losing those battles, then I have to go back and ask the Lord, where is it? Where have I made some mistakes? Or is there something within me that has caused Your blessing for me to lose that blessing and that empowerment? That openness before the Lord. I want to read in Psalms in the 24th chapter and in the first verse. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Understanding that everything that is in the world is God's. That his vision and his sight and his knowledge, there isn't anything that escapes his understanding. That there isn't anything that he can't see, or that his knowledge, or that his vision of what, there isn't anything. Everything encompassed in the earth is in the Lord's vision and in his sight. My life and everything that I encounter, it isn't anything that he doesn't understand. And to come and to stand before the Lord and to be able to receive the blessing and to receive the anointing, I want to have my heart and my spirit in a place where I can receive that, and to be in a place where I know where God has dealt with me, that I have yielded and submitted myself to his voice and to his words. It says to lift up clean hands, to be able to know that my actions and my efforts and the movements in my heart and in my thought processes and the reasons why and all of the things that encompass, that I can bring those things before the Lord in a purity before him. Clean hand, deeds that are clean, thoughts and acts, things that I know that I can stand in that place, not because of our own efforts, not because I have been so good, but because by his strength, by his grace, by his mercy, that I have yielded myself to his spirit and to his leading. It's not in man to direct his own steps. It's not in us to choose what is right or what is wrong. We don't have the capability in our own right. But listening to that leading of the Lord, remaining tender and responding, brings us to that place where I have a sense of entitlement, so to speak. That I can come boldly and access that throne of grace. That I can come into the presence of the Lord with a clear heart, with lifting my hands, desiring his blessing and his support and his help. Wanting him to take care of whatever season or whatever challenges or whatever difficulties I might face. But there must be a clearness within me in that place. In my own life, I have found that when there have been things that I need to deal with, so to speak, maybe a spoken out of turn, an attitude that wasn't right, a thought process that needs to be corrected, and you come into that time and you seek the Lord, those things come to our mind. The Lord is faithful to minister to us, and he doesn't leave us to wander here and there and wonder and not know, but he's steady and he's careful to work with us and to lead us and to gently encourage us in those places. And as those things come, there is then a responsibility. There is something I have to respond to, that to maintain that purity in my heart. And the way that I get from point A to point B, as we spoke about before, is when I no longer listen to those gentle leadings and I allow the desires of my flesh or the desires that I want to overtake those things. And I close my ears, and I have children. I'll have one here. I won't pick on him. But okay, I did it as a kid too, so it's me also. When your parents ask you to do something, you don't have to say no. You can just act like you didn't hear them. You can continue and have selective hearing, so to speak, and just, you can continue. But there is a reaction or something that occurs because of that. We remember, yes. You know me since I was little. But it's easy sometimes to just, because I really, there's something within me that doesn't want to stop what I feel like the Lord is moving. And then eventually what happens in that place is my hands are no longer clean. My motivation, there is a separation that begins. And with that comes a blinding of my vision. It's no longer singular. And the end of that result is I can't see at all. And the final end of that is I'm deceived into believing that, and I've convinced myself that I can remain in this place and it's okay, but there is a blessing that recedes from us in that place. We find it when we fight our battles, because the presence of the Lord isn't there anymore. And it's in my effort, and it's in my energy, and it's in my strength that I hold on to the principles that I know are right, and I hold myself in that place and try to contend and to fight. When in reality, the battle isn't ours. And when we come to the Lord with a pure heart, we hand the battle to God, and it's Him that fights on our behalf. The peace doesn't come from me forcing myself to try to not think, but His presence comes, and with that comes a peace, to spend time with Him. This is what salvation was to reunite once again men with their Creator, that He might bless us and inspire us with His presence, and to know what, like the Garden of Eden, to walk with Him and to feel that and to know, to feel His love and His presence. From that, it burns everything else away. But we have a choice. As the Lord works with us and leads us, directs us, we have to be sensitive to those movings from the Lord and respond to those things. To be careful that when we feel those checks or those places where the Lord has begun to put His hand on something, that's my focus then. Yes. I want to spend my time and my meditation looking at that. I want to read Psalms in the 51st chapter. Well, there's a verse in Matthew that says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the things that we care about, the things that we love, that this is where our meditation and our focus is. It's inevitable. In our humanity and the way that we're made, we have interest in things that we care about, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can tell what someone is interested in by usually what they talk about. And it comes out, if you speak to them long enough, the things that they value or the things that catches their attention, it's what they know about because they've spent time on it, researched it, and can tell you the upside and the downside and the reviews and this direction. It's a reaction of where our interests lie. I think about when we spend time with God and when we find His presence, and it causes a priority in our heart and in our life. It causes us to want to maintain and to treasure. It puts things in orientation. Our treasure, the thing that I value, the thing that I most am interested in. And I know a lot of things in life that we deal with. There's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of responsibilities, we're to be stewards, there's a lot of things that we have to, the responsibilities and duties of life. But where your treasure is, the thing that you value the most, if you could strip everything else away, the thing that I most care about. Psalms in the 51st chapter, I wanted to read this because there is a reaction here from David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. When I read this, I think about the agony and the terror, the struggle, the burden of not being able to find that place in God's presence. And maybe no one else knows it. People may not understand. But that struggle and that emptiness and that ache that's inside that only God can touch. And Brother Michael talked about walls. There's something that's separating me from that. And there's something within me that desires it, but I'm up against something that's keeping me from enjoying the blessing of God. And when I read this, I read a man's heart that is so torn, because he desires so much above anything to enjoy the blessing of God's presence again, to have that clarity and that purity where when I come into the presence of God, it's time to lay down and rest. That instead of fighting and contending, instead of me trying to explain or instead of trying to, what's the word?
Rationalize.
And there's a conflict within my breast because I'm now in the presence of God and I know there's something there and He's got His hand on that. And I want His blessing and I want it, but there's a conflict. And here in this place, you can read it in David's voice. You can hear it in the tone. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In this place, if we find ourselves in this place, the only way that you're going to find yourself out of that place is to recognize the position and the place that you're in. We have to. You have to put it front and center and shine the spotlight on it. Because the enemy loves for those things to stay in the shadows. He loves for those things to stay on the outside or on the periphery and to deal with those times of contention till we can just go back to life again. To fill it with things that will just take up your time and your energy and your effort. But we have to be honest with God in those places. When I think about pure in heart, I think about honest too. I think there's folks that are honest that can see God and realize and recognize there's something here that I've got to deal with. Now in that verse, it really means to possess God, to be, in a sense, enveloped. But when there is an honesty and a purity in my dealings with God, there comes a vision and a sight. I think about the rich man and the Pharisee, or the Pharisee and the publican, sorry. One was pretty full of himself. He wasn't too honest. And he didn't receive any blessing. It's better, in my view, it's better to live honest before God. That even if you know that there are problems and there are issues, it's better to live in that place of honesty than it is to convince ourselves that we don't have any problems. Because if I can live in that place of honesty, then the Lord can begin to work with that. Even if I'm not in a position yet where I'm sure I can, the Lord can work with that if we'll be honest with Him. If we'll put those things before Him and our heart desires for Him to help us, even when maybe our flesh is recoiling, and there's still some drop, but there's that pool. If we'll respond to that and begin to work and to make the effort to place, He'll bring the conviction. He will bring the desire in us to lay down everything. But I have to admit it's there first. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Wants us to be true on the inside. Honest and open. Purge me with the hyssop and I shall be clean. And wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. The joy of thy salvation. That joy, it simply comes from being in the presence of God. It is an automatic reaction. I've been a lot of camp meetings, I guess, been to Monarch a lot of years, and there is a time and a place for everything. There really is. Well, most things. But some messages will come forth, and it's messages about maybe eternity. And there can be a lot of, the Lord can inspire different thoughts from different ways and can use different things to reach people. But I've seen a lot of messages where the love of God and the joy of God is ministered, And it just, it breaks everything down. Because that's what my heart yearns for more than anything, is to feel and experience that joy and that peace, to rest from all my labors, to find that place of respite, that place of peace. This world is difficult. This world is hard. It's a dark place. But in the presence of God, it's heaven on earth. There is a joy and a peace and a comfort, peace that passeth understanding, the joy of thy salvation. I thought about the scripture that teaches us that the Lord will write His law on the tables of our heart. When we spend time with the Lord, there is a ministering that goes on within our spirit and within our heart that causes our steps, causes our understanding, reveals to us His truth. It's not enough for us to simply teach each other what it is to be right, to teach each other what it looks like to be a child of God, to create a manual, so to speak. We have one, of what it means to be like Christ, and then to try to live according to that by our interpretation and by our strength. But that vision and that sight that comes from purity of heart allows God to come in and begin to write with His finger in our heart His law and His instruction to teach us and to cause us to understand the truth, to begin to inspire our heart and our mind to perceive and to discern and to recognize where my own motivations and my own efforts and my own thoughts and where they come in light of the truth and the instruction. This is the place where God is. It's His work and His effort to minister and to bring those things into our heart. Do you know the things that we count most valuable? At least for me, the things that I count as the most powerful are the things where I have witnessed God minister and to teach by His Spirit, and in those times of living or experiencing His presence, when He begins to minister to us, there isn't anything that can take that away. That knowledge and that instruction becomes ingrained in our heart, and it's something that is powerful and enabling and causes us to want to respond to that. Yes. Now, He uses a lot of methods. It can be in a message. He uses preaching. He might use it in a Sunday school lesson. It can be in a song. It through the scripture. It can be from someone else's. But the Lord begins to write that. And when we are open and pure before Him, when we are responding and our spirit is humble, yielded before the Lord, then He is able to begin to write His instruction to teach us. Why it's very difficult when we have our own definition, or we have some, we want things to be a certain way. It's really hard to write against the grain, so to speak. But when we have submitted ourselves, when our desire is that we want the blessing and we want the presence of God to be manifested in the greatest way it can be, I want to experience the fullness. I want the biggest portion and the greatest measure. Then with that comes a submission and a yielding.
Yes.
That He can write on my heart as He pleases. That I will yield to that instruction, and I'm tuned into that more than anything. That anything else that comes that is in subjection to that, that I submit to that. And if we will maintain that place of yielding, of humbleness of mind, of a humbleness of our spirit before the Lord, then it'll hold us in the places where we need to be. And we can go from season to season, knowledge and instruction. Think about some of the trials that we go through and the things that get revealed to us. I had a difficult time at work this past few months, some difficult times that we went through, some challenges. And in those places, the Lord begins to reveal things to us about ourselves. The light begins to shine and we see ourselves in a light maybe we never did before. And if we can maintain that simplistic, it's not complicated, but that humbleness before the Lord and to respond to those places where the Spirit moves, then He'll carry us through each one of those places and we draw closer. Yes. He fixes parts of us. We find areas that we have to rely on the Lord more than we knew in the past. That maybe we have weaknesses we didn't know about or thought processes that we shouldn't have had. And the Lord is faithful through those things to minister and to teach us. He doesn't, God is not going to bring us to the judgment and then we have no idea. And surprise us with a surprise attack. The Lord is faithful to us. To instruct and to teach. And if my heart's desire tonight is that we would be in a place where we are just totally yielded before God, that we can respond to His voice and to move, and that He has the freedom. That when I come in His presence, there is not a lot of backlog to deal with, not a lot of things to clear up from last time. But that I come into and it's just a time of rest. A time of being able to lay down and to feel the presence. And I know that we have God with us all the time, but life also is with us all the time. Things that we have to encounter. And then in those quiet times, the Lord begins to talk to us. There's a scripture here in 12th verse of Hebrews in the 4th chapter. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There, people can interpret scriptures lots of different ways. And you could, by using the word of God, you could maybe create all kinds of different thought processes. But when the Spirit takes that word and begins to apply it to our heart, it goes right down to the core. It goes down and it ministers to us right where we live. Yes. It reveals to us. It's not a blunt instrument, but you feel it. You feel that prick where the Lord moves. He just puts His finger right there. And as we respond to that and as we are moved by that and sensitive to that, then the Lord is faithful to bring a great blessing. That we can experience the joy of His presence, to witness and to maintain that purity and that clarity that we had when we first got saved, that on a daily basis we find that refreshing every day, that clearing every day, maintained in our relationship with God. I ask that you pray for me. I want to keep my heart in that place where the Lord is able to work with the clay. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. This isn't about making us feel guilty for the past, but rather to feel the acceptance and the beauty. Yes. That God comes down and ministers to us in our human form, in this life, now. And then, no matter what comes, whatever day, whatever time, whatever hour, in the blink of an eye, in a long period of time, that my heart is in that place where I know that I've kept it pure and clean before God. That there isn't anything that the Lord has not, that I've not responded to. And don't let the enemy accuse you tonight. He likes to just throw firebombs at us that have no basis. But there's a big difference between that and when the Spirit of the Lord has come down and ministered to our heart. And we know. And we look on His face and we can see in ourselves those places where the Lord has placed His hand.